This morning's message coming from Isaiah, the 51st chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verse. Faith is believing what God says. Faith is believing what God says. And this is revolving around Abram, the father of faith. And we have to look, you know, we wonder where the origins of things. A lot of times we have to look, how does things begin? How did things begin? And for us that are spiritual, the origins begins in our Genesis, which the word is taken from that, meaning beginnings. Our beginnings. And God tells us how things was derived, how things came into being. We look at the church today, at the children of God, and it came into being by faith.
Yes.
And we have to be able to find our purpose in life, to find our direction in life, to find our goals in life, and just where are we headed, we must have an essential knowledge and an understanding and a comprehension of all things. Those come from God, but it's a method in which they come. And that's what we want to look at this morning, that method wherein they come by. And it says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody." He was speaking to the people of Jerusalem that was standing in tatters of their civilization, had been destroyed, had been taken all, torn all apart by the Babylonians, and had taken them into captivity. Herein was God promising. Looked like everything that had fallen and achieved had came into vanity, and they had strove in vain, but they didn't realize they had something greater than anything in the world, and that is the word of God, the promises of God.
Yes.
Therein lieth hope. Therein lieth blessings and prosperity. And we'll look at this morning, as I said, the origins of that, and just what was the substance of what they will believe in, because faith is just that. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, this is something that it's tangible, God's word, that we could stand up on that, and that's our direction. So the sight that we require is a sight of the invisible. That is, we walk by faith and not by physical sight. Now, he was talking to two different groups of people here. And that's why I say he's talking to the spiritual here, because it says those that follow after righteousness. And there's no way you could follow out after righteousness without being called of God or being a child of God, because we know all his commandments are righteousness. That constitutes the essence of the character of God, in that he leads us in paths of righteousness. So with his children, there are two seeds here from the beginning with Adam and Eve. Out of all of this confusion and chaos, it wasn't any other gods, Baal or mystical gods. You hear of Leviathan and Rahab and all of this. But some of this has references to that, but that the God of creation, the God that we serve, had done all of these things, and that the seed of the devil, the seed of Satan, the father of all lies, of all things that brought about all of this confusion into which God brought order. The earth was dark and without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. But as created man, we've talked about all of those things, and that's why I say the Bible is written so that a lot of people just grab it, and if they're novice or whatever, they just start believing faith in different things, and they don't realize or comprehend just what's going on because they're not born again. Here, Abraham was something different. And he says, those that follow after righteousness. To be a follower, it takes Jesus and it takes a denial of self. Self must die. In other words, you have to know what you're following or who you follow. Now, I told you about Abraham and he being the father of faith, and our reading scripture came from Genesis 17 and 1. And it says, when Abram was 90 years old and 99 now, that's when he heard this. He says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. This was a call, and we all have a effectual call. God comes into our lives, and we're not hearing how this aspect of God speaking to Abraham, or was it a visible manifestation, a theophany, which is a visible manifestation of God, or how just what this was it an angel, or was it circumstances or situations that made him know that this was God? See, because God, Abraham, in considering Abram, when he said had that name Abram, remember he changed his name to Abraham, a father of many nations. But Abram was a moon worshiper. His father father Terah was a moon worshiper, and they were in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is the same as us being in the world, because that was the Babylonian territory. That was Babylon, and we see in Revelation where he calls us out of Babylon. In other words, calling us out of the world, and he called Abraham out of that world of Babylon geographically to come out from among his kindred, come out from among his people. Yes. And be thou perfect. Now, he requires nothing less than perfection. Nothing less than perfection, and it's a perfect God that calls us out. It was Jesus who called him out. We know that Abraham rejoiced to see that day. In other words, he's seen Jesus. So we see here that, can we see Jesus? Can we see? And the only way we can do that is what? Through the eyes of faith. Through the eyes of faith. I tell you, to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus came as a tangible something. He came as a man. This is a historical figure, the man Jesus, and he left these words, in which we trust these words, and that Jesus did all he said that he did, all that the Bible said he did, all that the prophets said that he would do. And that's our belief system. That's what it's structured on. So the object of our faith has came. Whereas with Abraham, the father of faith, it says Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So this was an alien righteousness. This was something that was given unto him, was reckoned unto him, a place to his account. And that's how our faith comes. It is imputed unto us. That's the righteousness that I told you was a vertical righteousness that comes down, that he gives unto us. That's imputed righteousness. And he gives that to a repentant soul, people that have repented and turned from themselves, turned away from the world, and he had justified, he had placed in right standing with God. And that along with that repentance come a following of him. So when he told him to follow me and be thou perfect, that was a journey. We all begin a journey following after the leader. Follow the leader. Yes. And Jesus is our leader. It, differently from Abraham, which he believed God and he trusted God, but we by faith, which is the same thing. except for we've seen the object of our faith, not Jesus Christ. Mark 8, chapter the 34th through the 35th verse says, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it." So we see Abraham in the process a few times there trying to save his own life and prostituting his wife out to Pharaoh and to Abimelech or whatever, because he was afraid of what was going to happen to him. So we see when it says Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, that it was a process of ever-increasing faith that Abraham was achieving here on this journey. He was growing in faith. It took him some 30 years to get to the point that he didn't stagger at the word of God. But he did stagger some, though, because when he left because of the famine, not trusting God in the promised land where God had put it, we have to trust God where God has us at. Be content with such that we have. We have to be like Isaac. Isaac, God talked to Isaac and told him to stay in the land or whatever. Isaac sowed in the midst of a drought. In the midst of famine, and he reaped 100-fold, trusting and believing God. Whereas Abraham left the land twice. Abraham left twice, and he incurred a series of problems that the consequences were setbacks for him. So on this journey, we're going to have a lot of problems. If we considering Abraham from the rock from which we are hewn, if he's our father, which is the father of faith, he's the one that began this, we'll know that he made mistakes, but the goal, the object on this journey is to be thou perfect. God calls for perfection. That's from his children, but there's two different seeds in the earth. There's a fight that's going on. There's a battle that we're in. And we awaken, his word awakens us and gives us a consciousness, awareness of what's going on. And that's why we have to know whose we are or whom we are ourselves. And we realize that now, not in some other time in the future or whatever, we are the sons of God now. Yes. Now we are the sons of God. So we have to know who we're following. And he says, take up your cross, deny yourself to follow after him. Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 29th through the 10th, take the 30th verse says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there's no, the Pharisees burden people down. Religious people burden you down with a whole lot of things or whatever. But if you believe in God, you're looking unto Abraham, and Abraham was a man just like we were. Jesus was a man just like we are. So they did it in their everyday life, trusting and believing and having faith in God. And so we can't look at this as some super egotistical journey of television in the television world, because in that world, we lose a rationale or reasoning because of time constraints and other constraints. It makes it a fantasy world, a dream world. That's what television does to us. But the real world is something different, and that's where he left us, in this world. Now, to be supernatural and to come out of the world and keep Eve from the evil of the world, we must be born again. We must learn of him. He says, take my yoke. So God has to be learned of. Certain things Abraham did. Abraham tied to Melchizedek even before the commandment. So we know that God had talked with him and showed him these things, because that tithes and offerings, those things hadn't even came into being yet. we know about the Sabbath, and the Sabbath and its part in the Ten Commandments, it just says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Yes. So Abraham, prior to that, more than less likely, like the rest of the world, had that Sabbath and knew of the Sabbath. We go all the way back to Noah during the times of Noah, and Noah brought aboard the ark seven of the pairs of each of the clean animals, and one pair of the unclean animals. So even before the law of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Exodus and all of those places, they knew what clean and unclean was. So God, the grace of God had appeared to all men, because that's how Noah was saved, was by grace. That's the only way we can be saved, by the grace of God, because all men are condemned to die. Condemnation fell on us through Adam, the first man, Adam. So we have to know, he says, look unto the rock from which you were hewn, whence you are hewn, and to the hole from which you are digged. In other words, not being shaped informed by the world, we must be born again.
Yes.
So we're not looking at natural man, because David says, in sin I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We can't allow this world to shape us and fit us into his mold. We have to come out of this world and be born again and shaped in the image and the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Only way that can occur is through a faith walk after we are born again, having been adopted into the family of God.
Yes.
So we have to know. Your mama tell you, people say that if you don't know history or know where you come from, you're destined to repeat it.
Oh, yes.
And I always tell you, you know about the good things of your parents, but you also have to know about the bad things of them. Don't put anyone up on that pedestal and not knowing that there are things that I can't do that they did, that they wasn't right. They wasn't God's. They wasn't perfect. So that's why he called Abraham from among his kindred, so he wouldn't fall after what they did. And it took a strong stance for him to come away from his kindred. Knowing our history. Joshua repeated some of the people's history after they crossed over into the promised land and told them about Abram and told them where they had came from. Joshua, the 24th chapter, read that whole chapter, and he says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Nahor was Abraham's brother. That was Lot's father, Nahor. You remember, Lot went with Abraham.
Yes.
He must have had a closeness to Abraham. Sometime I think about my nephew, when they talking about Lot, he's a good man, but he falls short because he's not actually a believer of God or follow God by faith.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that he's not a... In other words, goodness don't get it. When it was Nikita Khrushchev, when he quoted the thing about the United States and saying about the highway to hell is paved with good intentions. It's good to mean good intentions, but you have to be working for God. You have to be born again. You have to be into his family. You can't be outside the church. And that's one thing I look over the times and the places of years, just how religious was my family, my mother, my father, my brothers and uncles, and all of my kindred, the whole Jackson, Baxter family, or just whatever it was.
Yes.
How religious, how church going they was, how did they believe God? Because Joshua here tells them that your fathers existed on the other side of the flood, on the other side of Jordan, and they served strange gods. Like I say, Abraham was a moon worshiper. So that thus was his father, and he called him out of his father's house. So it's like with God creating Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told Adam, he said, a man must leave his father, leave his home, and him and his wife become one flesh. Sarah and Abraham had to become one flesh. They was alone. He says, I called Abraham alone. So now you got to fend for yourself, Abraham. See, Adam wasn't listening at God. He sold us out. He sold humanity out to where we became sons of the devil. Satan became our father. We were all condemned. So now he has to hew us out from another rock, one that has faith to believe God and obey God and walk after his statutes and commandments. He says, and I took your father Abram from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. That's a key verse. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Just as he told Joshua in the beginning of the book of Joshua, be strong and be vigilant. Turn not to the right or the left and read and study that word of God. And as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. Yes. It says, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you today, choose the gods. Choose this day whom you will serve. If you can serve the Lord, serve the Lord. If you're not, go that way. He says, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So don't pick up the habits of the world, the love of the world, and the things of the world. Now Abraham, he had called him out of the world and placed him in a land in which God had removed all of the inhabitants. Whereas he called us out of the world, but he left us in the world. So this is not a physical thing. This has to be spiritual. So we have to die to self. We have to die to the things around us. We have to make that new creation, because the kingdom of heaven is among us. The kingdom of God is within us, and we have to bring that to earth, that thy will be done as thy kingdom come, and fret not thine self because of evildoers, because God is making a new heaven and a new earth, for this old heaven and the old earth has to pass away. All this has to pass away. Heaven and earth has to pass away. So the second thing is judgment. If he's doing that in that judgment, we'll talk about comfort in the next couple of weeks. And I hadn't talked on a nice, comforting sermon like that in a while. And this is about judgment and separation, because if he's calling us to justice and to righteousness and establishing the earth in us, there must be a judgment of the wicked and the evildoers, a separation of the wheat and tares, where the judgment has to come upon the tares.
Yes.
There must be this. Stephen in the book of Acts spoke of judgment. And we have to speak of judgment in proclaiming the gospel. That's what we do. Proclaim the gospel. That's our salvation.
Yes.
That's a fail-safe. He's a fortress. When we run through the fortress, what condemns those that's outside the fortress, that not inside the ark, is the judgment of God. It's the law of God.
Yes.
Stephen recanted what was going on to them in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter. Now, if Stephen the deacon, he was the first martyr of the church. And listen at him, he'll give us a little bit more background on Abraham, because like I say, we have to go back to the beginning of where we started at, and that is in Abraham, the father of the faithful.
Yes.
He says, you stiff-necked and stubborn people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you're always actively resisting the Holy Spirit. You're doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your father not persecute? They killed those who proclaimed beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. you who received the law as ordained and delivered to you by angels, and yet you did not obey it. And they put Stephen to death for that because he started to talk about Abraham and what happened. And go back and read that whole chapter there. You're stiff-necked in a generation that always resisted the Holy Spirit. That's what the Pharisees did during Jesus' time. They resisted Jesus Christ. They resisted the Scriptures. It's in your notes. You don't have to write it down. I put it in your notes to go back and study that. But it's always that resistance, because you remember God says, allow the wheat and tares to grow up together, and he'll separate them when he comes. But that separation comes by us speaking the word of God, living the word of God. And if I go to any of the members that's sick and shut in, if I go to anybody around, if I talk to anybody, I ask them, are you listening at the Scriptures? Are you listening at preaching and teaching? Don't sit up and listen at something else all day, every day, or whatever. You get under some sound teaching and preaching, because that's your strength. That's where your strength lies in. That's why you pray, give us this day our daily bread. You're not going to be strengthened. The word of God is what strengthens. It gives you life. It gives marrow to your bone. It adds years to your life. It adds hope and inspiration. The word of God is living. And if you're not hearing that word of God, where would you get your strength from? You could become weak and just as any other man. As Samson, he became weak and as any other man when he started not following the secrets of God and start telling all these others something else. Because this is not about physical. He said his words, they are spirit and they are life. So if your prayer life has to be strong, without a strong prayer life, you got a problem. Now everybody can pray, because you can pray laying down, standing up, kneeling, driving along, or whatever. He says, cease not to pray, praying all the time. But he also says, give yourself to studying the word of God. Study to show yourself approved, workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. He told Timothy to study the scriptures to show, because they're able to make you wise unto salvation. So it's important, because faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is your lifeline. And that's why a lot of churches nowadays, they have church several times during the week, because a lot of the older people, a lot of the people that may not have time to do a lot of reading or studying, well, at least you can come to church, come to Bible study, and hear reading and preaching and teaching of God's word, so that you can be a good Berean. Because how can you follow God if you don't know what his word says? If somebody else telling you what the words say, and a lot of people say, well, Paul, I study a lot of Paul, but Paul is hard to be understood, and you twist and wrestle with the scriptures to your own destruction. And I found that out in my family too. A lot of the words and things you created and shaped a God after your own image, after your likeness, because it's completely opposite of what people say. You know, they say, well, everybody in the church will be saved. And you exactly 100% correct. Everybody in the church won't be saved. But that gives you no excuse for you not to go to church and for you not to belong to a church. You diametrically opposite of God. Yes. That's what he died for, the church, his bride. His word says, forsake not to assemble together of yourself. So I've invited you to the church. I invited my relatives to the church or whatever. You don't have to come to my church or the church I attend, but you need to be in some church. Yes. Are you in direct contradiction of God's word, no matter how good you think you are? Because you can do it your way. So Jesus came down here for nothing. If you saying he died for you, you just pop up in there on Easter or something. You believe in Christmas and all these other holidays. Even the devils believe and tremble, but that doesn't get them saved. Nope. You must be a doer of God's word. So if we considering Abraham, that Abraham had works, and that's what following after righteousness is. That's a horizontal righteousness. That's a righteousness that develops and becomes strong. It's not a vertical righteousness that imputed to you. This is a righteousness that's strengthened by doing, being a doer of God's word.
Yes.
So that's a different righteousness now. That imputed righteousness, you can't do anything. You can't improve upon it. That comes to you perfectly from God from above. But this imputed righteousness, that's from doing good and following after good.
Yes.
It's physically in John, the 8th chapter, the 32nd through the 44th verse is when there was a discussion, a conversation going on between the Pharisees and Jesus. And they answered him, saying, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. And how sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Well, that you can see that they don't have too good a sense then, because they were under Roman rule.
Yes.
They didn't have a king or leader. They had rejected Jesus way back some 400 and some years during the time of Jeconiah. God cursed Jeconiah, Conan, from the throne and says that you shall not have a leader until he who it is comes. And that was when Jesus Christ came, and they rejected him and chose Caesar as their king.
Yes.
Caesar was their leader. So they say we be Abraham's seed, that they was children of Abraham. That's just like Ishmael saying he's a child of Abraham, the Muslims or Islam or whatever. And Abraham had two sons, but Hagar was of the bondwoman. They was born in bondage, whereas Sarah signifies the free woman, those that are freedom. And that's why you have Sarah. He said, consider Abraham and Sarah. Sarah played a significant role in this. Even though it was a male society or whatever, you see Sarah playing a significant role because she had to have faith also to have this child.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever." Look at the wheats and tares. Now look at this spiritually, because he who you yield your members to him, you're a servant thereof. If you yield your members unto unrighteousness, you're a servant of sin. And if you yield your members to righteousness, you're a servant of righteousness. You're a servant of God.
Amen. Yes.
But he's telling them that what brought you into bondage, it's your characteristics of what you're doing, your conduct, your behavior, your thoughts and your ways. This was engenders you to bondage because you're shaped in the world and by the world. He says, "If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's seed." Now, he's saying that Jesus Christ is the only one that could make you free. His word sets you free. But that's the only way you can be free, because there are servants in the household. Moses was a servant, but Jesus Christ is not a servant. So if you under the law, you under the schoolmaster, you under bondage, you under some religious pretense, but there's liberty in Christ Jesus. There's liberty in the Son. That's why he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life."
Yes.
It's only through Jesus Christ. Now, he acknowledges here now, he just like with the man that said that he kept the law, Jesus didn't dispute the fact. And here they saying that they are sons of Abraham. Just like Hagar was a son, though. Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you." You don't follow my word. You know my word or whatever, but don't have a place in you. I know you of Abraham's seed. But when God says that your seed would be blessed, he said seed, and that was sons of the promise, Isaac. That was the spiritual seed, not seeds.
Yeah.
Not Esau, not the ones that wasn't part of this spiritual blessing. He had two sons.
Yes.
It's the wheat and the tares. The tares are not blessed. Though they be sons, that there's different seeds in the earth. That's the ones' heads are going to be bruised. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now he brought in two different fathers, didn't he?
Yes.
Now Abraham is the father of the faithful. And it says Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day because yes. Jesus mirrors the father. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen my father.
Yes.
Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day. And that's why I say, I don't know how he appeared to him, but Jesus says Abraham rejoiced to see his day. That was part of the contentious argument. They say, how did Abraham see your day? You're not even 50 years old. And Abraham was some 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Abraham was some hundreds of years before you. How did you say Abraham rejoiced to see your day? They didn't have a spiritual mindset. That's why I say it's like watching TV. They call TV the idiot box. It makes you stupid. It doesn't give you room to think. You think along the lines of the writers and whoever believes that story. You believe that Van Diesel could kill a lot of people and jump that car through there. And being a mechanic and works on cars or whatever, I know when you start dropping them cars that full, whatever, you would tear the chassis and that whole A-frame, all that to pieces or whatever. Yeah. All this that you shooting these long rifles and things while flipping over and you got one hand shooting them without aiming and taking target of what you're shooting and one man killing all these. Unless God be with you, none of that is possible.
Amen.
Now with God, all things are possible.
Oh, yes.
See, but Satan has his children believe in one thing and God has his children believing by faith that nothing is impossible with God. Choose the God that you go serve now. Choosing. He says, now they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham.
Amen.
But now ye seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham, ye do the deeds of your father? Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, and we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, not even went into an ad hominem argument. You remember they said that Jesus was born of fornication because his mother wasn't married at the time. So what happens is, not even lost the battle and they go into an ad hominem argument. Now, they calling him Beelzebub and that his mama is this and saying that he's born of fornication or whatever. They didn't lost the argument here. They did, you know, it's like you arguing with somebody and you're losing the argument and you jump up and say, well, you fat or you ugly. Well, what does that have to do with? You know. And Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. See, because one way you can tell if his disciples are God's children is their love for one another. That's why Jesus says, love even your enemy. If you don't have that love, you're not born of God. If you don't love all men, we supposed to love. And without that love, that's a sign that you're not born of God. He says, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. Now Jesus is kind of getting rough with him. Now he's telling them where he come from. You and your daddy was a liar and he was born a liar. And that's all that's in you. That's why you can't hear. That's why when he commissioned Isaiah to go and preach and teach, and Isaiah says, here I am, sent me. He says, now, they're not going to have ears to hear, nor eyes to see. They're not going to be able to understand.
Mm-mm.
So now when you're around your relatives, when you're around your friends, and when you're in the world, when you speak, if they don't understand the gospel, you're not befuddled or confounded or whatever. It's not in them to understand. They can't see it. Don't get so upset and mad because people don't believe in God. You still love them and treat them as you treat everybody else. Yes. People killing homosexuals and lesbians and against different people, groups and everything. Now, you remember the commandment, love all men.
Yes.
You don't go and kill an abortion doctor. You don't go around killing and he says, love it. God says he'll separate those that stand wrong. You show love. How can I hate these people? And some people have animosity toward others because others have animosity. You know, with words, if you accuse people, you become a devil. That's what Satan is, to accuse other brethren.
Yes.
So stop going around pointing your finger and saying somebody did this. Said, no, I don't know who did it. Always, I don't know. I won't. God had, even if you know, sometimes it's prudent not to say. And it says, we be children of Abraham, but you are your father, the devil. He told them, we, those that follow God's word, those that have these characteristics, those are distinguishing characteristics of the children of God. Those are the ones that continue on dealing with your kindred. You remember I told you, he told Lot to get away from his kindred? Abraham to get away from his kindred?
Yes.
Sooner or later, he had to get away from Lot because Lot was material minded. Maybe Lot wasn't strong enough to get rid of his wife or to command his wife and his children in his household. Because we see Lot sitting in the gate of the city, which was a place of authority where he's governing with him. Abraham didn't govern in the city because you don't get entangled in this world's affairs.
Amen. Yes.
In this world's politics, in this world's search, or anything with the world. Don't get entangled in the world's affairs. We see Lot's wife was materialistic. The reason she was destroyed and turned to a pillar of salt. She kept looking back into the world. She was Lot's Jezebel. Just like Ahab's wife Jezebel caused a lot of him. He wasn't a very strong man. If you can't command your household, God kept focusing that in on Abraham just as he did Adam. And that's one thing that I always think about whenever my spouse is saying something, whenever my children or somebody that's kidding me saying something, it says, because you listen at your wife. Now, just because your wife say something, that don't mean you have to listen to it. And that's the weakness I see in many of men. Some no good woman, some wife or whatever that's controlling them, or they doing this. And to keep the peace, they go along with that wife or do what that wife wants them to do. And that's what's wrong with a lot of society, because they listen to their wives. That's why Samson was bald-headed and blind and committed suicide listening at his wife. That's how Adam lost paradise. He says, because you've listened unto your wife, cursed is the ground for your sake.
Yes.
For it will bring forth thorns and thistles. You better be careful who you're listening at.
Mm.
Now she gave you your wife as a helpmeet, and you should hear what she's saying, but you should be circumspect because you can't blame your wife. A lot of people, after they go and do something, oh, she did this. My wife told me. Well, that's what you get for listening at your wife. You're responsible. Now, Abraham was the responsible party. When Sarah told him to go into his handmaid Hagar, you remember, she says, my sins be upon you. So it was you that listened at it, oh, Abraham. You had a choice to not listen at. You have to make decisions. A lot of people, you help them or whatever and do things, and the first thing that they do is, but you said this, don't try to blame me. You could have said, well, I don't go along with that. You have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. That's why I say, you can't get in the church and then blame the preacher, blame the deacon, or blame somebody else. You're responsible for your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if it don't sound right, don't go along with it. You need to be studying to be a good Berean. Because that's why I got off the highway with my family. Some of the things you saying or doing, this ain't right. And I see the life you living, what you doing. Lot chose the fertile plains, and that's where he perished, and he lost all of that. Abraham was a different person. He was patient. He was temperate. He grave. He says, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Faith is confidence we have in possessing the things we hope for because of the promises of God. God promised, and Abraham knew God was faithful. Whatever Lot chose, it wasn't going to have a bearing on Abraham because God made the promises unto him, and he had faith, and he believed God. Faithfulness is adhering unswervingly to God and his covenant. To God, not to your spouse, not to your children. All of those become idols. You should have no other God before him. God comes first. Whatever you get, whatever you have, God has to have the preeminence in that. Let me set all my time aside because this is my Bible study day. This is my prayer service today. This is the day I go to church. Now let me put everything around that because that's what's keeping my life intact. To be faithful, we need to be loyal. Yes. Steadfastly affectionate and allegiant to God. God has our allegiance. We don't pledge allegiance to the flag. We don't pledge allegiance to the world. We don't pledge allegiance to anything. We pledge allegiance to God. We serve our country, but our country may change. It may become something else. It might metamorphosize. Consciousness. Scrupulous in doing God's will. We have to stay aware. We have to stay circumspective. We have to stay awoke. He told Peter that stay awoke. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And like I said, if you don't pray, if you don't read, you'll go to sleep. The world's going to put you to sleep and have you living in the world and thinking about the things of the world. You have to be dedicated, that is, zealously devoted to God and truthful, true to God's word and his standards of righteousness. Remember, the sins of the father follow you. Isaac has to be strong. One thing he did was the same thing Abraham did with his wife, Sarah. He said that Rebekah was his sister. You remember those same weaknesses my father and stepfather had. That my mother had some of those things within me. I have to watch it because I've seen you did that. This was your wrong. If you don't see wrong in your parents, you got a problem. You don't see wrong in your brothers and sisters. It's called nepotism. You blind to others' faults. Some people don't see wrong in their children or whatever. Those are your little gods. Those are the ones you worship in. Those can be downfalls. Consider Abraham. That was the ultimate challenge to God to Abraham was then God said after he drew the knife back to slay Isaac, he says, now I know you love me. I know you fear me because that's when he staggered not after the promises of God. When he drew that knife back to slay Isaac, he didn't stagger at that promise, but that was some 30 or 40 years later. As that 99 that he said Sarah was his sister. He did a lot. That's why we have to consider Abraham, that Abram did things just like we do things. We fall, but we get up. But at the end, when he knew God and God was a provider, I'm sure he didn't tell Sarah he was going to sacrifice Isaac. He was going to sacrifice Isaac. He didn't tell her that. He got up and went on and do what he... We have to get to that point. A lot of people look at Abraham and don't realize the struggle. They look at Jesus Christ being resurrected, but they don't look at the life that Jesus Christ lived. You look at preachers and people doing things, but you don't know what it took to get there. Children look at their parents and everything, and that's why it says honor your parent, because you don't know what it takes to be a parent. And the third point, we are children of the light by faith. We are children of the light by faith. That's the rock we were hewn from, Abraham. It talks about that all throughout the Bible. Galatians 3rd chapter says, O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that thou should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye of the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be in vain? In other words, have you went through all of this to swap over? You know, a lot of people, after they get in the church, now that you've been there a while or everything, now you want to leave those that's been in God for a long time. You know, now you want to tell Joseph this. Joseph's brothers told Joseph, well, Father says don't be angry with us or whatever. Well, Joseph was the king, the second in line to Pharaoh. Joseph had been walking with God all of his life. For Abraham, something was different about Abraham. God appeared to Abraham, brought him out, and changed Abraham. So he didn't have those same characteristics. Whereas Joseph, God had changed him. So he says, I'm in the place of God. He wasn't thinking about doing them anything or whatever. They hadn't changed. Joseph had learned humility. He had learned generosity. He had learned tenderness. Because when you submit yourself to God. So Peter, he told Peter, Satan has asked of you to sift you as wheat. But when you come around, I prayed for you that your faith not fail. So when you come around, strengthen your brethren. See, because Satan's going to throw all these things at you. But if you've been in the church and if you've truly been walking with God, God sends these tests, but a test, a trial, is to prove your faith. That's why it says when God tempted Abraham, or God tempts someone, God doesn't tempt anyone. You're tempted when you are overcome by the desires that are within your members. But if you've been following God, God has sanctified you, and God had known you can pass these tests, these trials. These are trials. It's not a temptation. So he tried Job because he knew Job can pass those tests. When he tried Abraham, he knew Abraham knew God didn't allow human sacrifices, that God had gave him Isaac when he wasn't able to produce a son. So he was to the point, he had been walking with God so much that he believed God's word. So that's why I say, have you been walking with God and God taking you through different things to increase your faith? You remember I told you it's an ever-increasing faith. When you step out on faith, it's not just faith. It's the faith, a faith that has been tried, a faith that is proven. He says, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye not therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now that signifies father, a father-son relationship. Those that are of faith are the children of Abraham. That's why Jesus says we be the children of Abraham, because they're of faith. Whereas these other ones, they're tares, they are not of faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, in you Abraham. Not Abram, but Abraham. All nations shall be blessed, and we're banking on that promise. That's the gospel. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. That who is your father? You don't have to know who's your father. You've been adopted into that family. Go back to John again. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He's not talking to all the Jews. He didn't die for everybody. He says to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. then indeed you're my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those that are not under bondage, those that are not servants of unrighteousness, those are the children of God. That's the one that set free, the ones that are continuing his word. Those are his disciples. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin." Yes. Matthew 8 and 12 says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There'll be many Jews. There'll be many people in the church. Yeah. That's the wheat and tares that were in the kingdom, but they're going to be cast out.
Yeah.
Those people that you say everybody in the church won't be saved, you're right. They're going to be cast out. Mm. But there's going to be many that come into the church. That's the only way out of here. That's the only ship that's leaving. That's the only one that's going into the kingdom. Unless you're aboard of that ark of safety.
Yes.
The salvation is in Jesus Christ. The salvation is in the Lord. So two things we're going to talk about after this, and that is salvation and comfort. But what are we to conclude here? What it took to get where Abraham was as the father of faith. 22 and 12 says, "And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, mm-hmm. seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son." So what did it take to get where he was? It took a walk of faith. It took a life of faith and humility. We have to walk by faith and be ye perfect. We have to deny ourselves and follow after him. It's a walk of faith. You have to take the shield of faith, to quench the fiery darts of the adversary. As he went to fight for Lot and rescue Lot, and the king of Sodom said things to Abraham, but notice, you remember I said, Lot didn't get entangled in the things of the world. He says, "Let no man say that he has made you rich except the Almighty God." We have to realize who had given us power to get wealth.
Yeah.
So Genesis 14 and 22 says, "But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say you have made Abram rich." I don't want nothing from the world. I don't lust at the things of the world. Whatever you have need of, Jesus says, ask the Father in my name, and that will he give unto you.
Yes.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Abraham was a very wealthy man, but he says, I'm not going to take anything from you unless you say you made me rich. I preach because tithing is something that we do, but you've never heard me ask for it. You've never heard me ask the world for anything. We've been here for years and years.
Yes.
We've been here for years and years. But as Charles Stanley says, we're not asking anything of the world. We're not looking on the world. We look unto God. So that when things happen, don't say that you've made me rich or whatever. God gives us the power to get wealth. Abraham believed God, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. That's how he saw Jesus. Abraham, the gospel was preached to him, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And Abraham believed God. You have to believe the gospel. In believing of the gospel, it is your salvation. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God,